Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. So, I know it's the Christmas season, and so I kind of have a message that, not exactly Christmas, but it relates to the life of Jesus. How oftentimes, we often assume that Jesus is with us and approves of the things that we do, not realizing he's actually not amongst our midst. So I entitled this message, Left Behind, the Life Story of Jesus. So let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, Father, I ask that as preaching is not something that man can do without your Spirit, Lord. Lord, no preacher has the ability to change a person's hearts. No man or woman has the ability to elevate our thoughts to be holy. And Lord, we do not have the ability to change anyone. We can't even change ourselves. But Father, what we believe is your presence, your word, your power that ultimately changes us and moves us. So Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will be present here today to do that very thing, to inspire us, to elevate our thoughts, to convict us and to change us, and that we may grow in the hearing of your word so that we may know Jesus better, but also our relationship with you may be strengthened. And I place myself in your hands that, Father, you will grant me the words to speak, that it may never be my own words, but you will be able to speak through me. Lord, bless your people here this morning. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. In the year in 2005, in the month of October, there was two individuals, Thierry Belicia and Jaime Mann. They were jewelers from Montreal, I believe. And they were in New York City for a jewelry convention. And I'm sure they did their thing at the convention center and whatnot. And after the convention, hoping to catch a flight, which they were running a little behind schedule, so they caught a cab and headed straight to the airport. And they packed up their things and hurried into the airport, and they finally made their flights. At the end of the day, when the cab driver turns in his taxi, he starts to clean out his car, and he opens his trunk. He finds some empty boxes. And as he's cleaning up these boxes, he realized one of them still has something inside. And upon further examination, he found some diamonds that one of these individuals had left behind. And eventually, they discovered that it was valued at $2 million. The jewelers assumed that the diamonds were in their possession, safely in their possession, not realizing they had left behind some precious jewels. There is a happy ending to the story. The taxi driver did actually turn in those jewels, and they did ultimately receive those jewels back. And I think the taxi driver got like a $1,000 reward or something to that effect for returning in $2 million. Go figure. But the idea, you get the ideas. Oftentimes we lose precious things. We lose things that are valuable in our hurry. For whatever reason, we tend to leave those things behind. In 1999, if you know the cellist Yo-Yo Ma, he left his $2.5 million cello, which was 266 years old, in a cab. But that wasn't even the most valuable thing left in the cab. In 2001, Lynn Harrell left her $4 million, 328-year-old Stradivarius cello in the cab. Have you ever lost anything precious to you? Maybe it wasn't not an item, but maybe you've temporarily lost someone, your child. I remember when we went to Disney, my family used to go to Disney every winter, and one time we had a pretty large group, some of our friends with us, and we had just ridden a ride, and we hurried to the next one trying to catch, get in line, and we realized, hey, one of my nieces is missing, right? Can you imagine, like, when our hearts sank, like, in this huge park, in our energetic like desire to ride the next ride, we left my niece behind. I think she was only like 8 at the time. Well, Mary and Joseph, they were entrusted with the most precious gift to humanity, a unique, irreplaceable, one of a kind, the gift of God, and they were entrusted with this child. They were entrusted with raising this child from birth to toddler to teenagers to all the way to adulthood. They were given the responsibility of raising the promised one, the Messiah, the Savior to humanity. Now, that's quite a burden to carry. But believe it or not, when Jesus was 12, scriptures tells us that he was lost for 4 days. Luke 2, verse 41, 42 says this: His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up there according to the custom of the feasts. Now, for us, it's kind of hard to imagine what Passover is like, but Passover is probably likely the most busiest time of the year for Christ's days in Jerusalem. And if you ever been to a Black Friday at a Walmart or a Best Buy or one of those things, it's pretty insane, right? And it would be, the environment would be pretty similar. There would be, every house, their rooms would be filled. Every inn, motel, Airbnb, whatever it is, it would be filled in Passover. There would be people from out of town, from near and far. It would be a busy time of the year. They were there to celebrate the Passover. But verse 42 tells us that according to the custom of the feast, that Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem every year, which tells us Joseph and Mary, they were religious. They were spiritual. In fact, do you know the book of Matthew states that Joseph was a righteous man? Book of Luke states that angel declared Mary as the favored one. In the eyes of God, Mary was favored. And because Joseph was righteous, God chose Mary and Joseph because they were good, godly people. They were good people, handpicked by God, God-fearing individuals. So it wasn't, they do not lose Jesus, the child Jesus, because they were ungodly and they did not care about the mission. Verse 43. After these festivals, let's read it together. As they were returning, after spending the full number of the days required, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents were unaware of it. Can you imagine? You have been entrusted with the Savior to humanity, and you have no idea he's missing. After these festivals has ended, Mary and Joseph, they're starting to travel back home. And it was common thing to travel in a caravan, which would make sense, right? Like with their friends and family members, so that there's safety in numbers, and I'm sure they're still excited about what had happened. And as they're traveling, they made one oversight. They left Jesus back in Jerusalem. Talking about being left behind. And the Bible says that they were unaware of it. And you might be asking, how in the world do you realize that your son is missing? And not just any son, the Son of God, basically the Messiah. How in the world do you not realize he's missing? Verse 44 actually gives us an answer. Instead, they thought that he was somewhere in the caravan, and they went a day's journey. They went a whole day before they realized Jesus is missing. And they went a day's journey, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. So verse 44 gives us 3 reasons why they lost Jesus, why they didn't realize Jesus was not amongst their midst. The first is this, and it's kind of implied. It doesn't say so directly, But the fact of the matter was, they were distracted. They were distracted by the festivities, the celebration, the food, and the conversations, and whatever it was, they were distracted from all these things. From friends and relatives and whatever else came with the Passover. I remember, you may have heard this story before, and so I'll make it short. When I was maybe 12, my parents took the whole family to a Korean camp meeting in New Jersey, and I had such a great time. I was so excited about all the games, all about the crafts, and playing that for a minimum 5 days, I have forgotten to take a shower. Now, you might be asking, how in the world do you forget to take a shower? You know what? I was so caught up in all these things that it had never occurred to me until my mom actually reminded me, it's time to take a shower. Even then, I was like, no, I'm clean, I'm good. I'm going to go play over there or here. And it was only at my mother's insistence that I actually did take a shower. And that's kind of a side story. But my point is this. Sometimes we get so caught up that even the very basic things of life, we tend to overlook them. And more importantly, the more heavier things in life is also easy to overlook them when we get busy and we get caught up in our lives. They were so caught up in their festivities that they were so engrossed in their conversation, they were so busy doing this and that, they did not realize that Jesus was missing. And if there was anyone that could not afford to be distracted, not even for a moment, it was Joseph and Mary, because they were entrusted with raising Jesus and keeping him safe. The whole mission of God's plan depended upon that one child, and Mary and Joseph did not realize that he was missing. Jesus is the long-awaited one, and he is in their care, the life of the very Son of God entrusted to this couple. The best gift that heaven had to offer, there was no other gift. After this, there was nothing more that God could do. He had entrusted him to Mary and Joseph. There was no room to be distracted, no opportunity to be sloppy or to be careless, not even for a moment. And yet, Mary and Joseph, they were distracted. Let's make an application to this. Your circumstances, my circumstances, are no different. If we call ourselves Christians, it means that you have accepted the gift of salvation, mainly accepting Jesus as not just a Savior, but as Lord, which means that we are entrusted with maintaining our relationship with Jesus. We are to guard our hearts. For Christians, there's never a time to be careless, unfocused, lethargic. We must be constantly on guard. We must have Christ ever before us. Scripture says in 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And Jesus says elsewhere, watch and pray. So Jesus, and we are entrusted with our relationship with Jesus. But not only that, we have been also entrusted with the message that Jesus wants us to share. We too have been entrusted with a unique, one-of-a-kind, irreplaceable gift, the good news of salvation in Jesus, that he came and died for the forgiveness of our sins. He suffered for our sakes. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And we are to faithfully carry that good news that Jesus is Savior. The first reason why Mary and Joseph left Jesus behind, lost him, was because they were distracted. Secondly, because they made assumptions. They assumed. Verse 44 says, instead they thought he was somewhere in the caravan, right? In other words, they assumed that Jesus was in the caravan. In fact, they went the whole day's journey, according to scriptures, an entire day, assuming that Jesus was safe, assuming that, he was somewhere in the caravan, went an entire day without realizing he was missing. For a whole day, Mary and Jesus took for granted that Jesus was among them. And in terms of our spiritual walk, how can we make this application? We make certain assumptions in our lives that may not be true. We are to ever be mindful that we are to abide in the presence of God. Never assume that, the presence of God is with you. We are to be intentional with our time with God. We are to never take for granted our time with God. Never assume that prayer is not needed. Never assume that worship is secondary. Never assume sin is harmless. Never assume forgiveness. Never take for granted each day of life as a gift of God. Never assume that Jesus is not coming. Now, the Bible, the book of James says something interesting. We are to draw near to God and He will draw near to you. There is the aspect of us making a decision to be in the presence of God. And when we invite Jesus to be in our presence, He draws near to us. So we cannot assume that in our all that we do that Jesus is with us. And I'm not saying the angels are not with you and so forth. What I'm saying is if you want to walk in the presence of God, it needs to be an intentional thing, a mindful thing that we make a decision each and every single day. Be intentional about your time with Jesus. Keep Him ever before you. We must choose not Jesus this day, but each hour and each moment. Never assume. So, first one is, Jesus, Mary and Joseph did not realize Jesus was left behind, and they lost Him because they were distracted. As Christians, we cannot be distracted. Second, because they made assumptions about the presence of Jesus. So as Christians, we cannot assume that if we do not walk in, we do not invite Jesus to be in our life, if we are not intentional about walking with Jesus, we cannot assume that He is walking with us. Number three, they shifted the responsibility to others. It says, instead they thought that He was somewhere in the caravan, and they went a day's journey, and then they began to look for Him among their relatives and acquaintances. You see, they assumed, even though Jesus wasn't there with them, they assumed that He must be with the cousins or the uncles or the aunties or whoever was. They assumed, and they assumed that they would take care of Jesus, so they shifted the responsibility to others. To walk with Jesus takes personal commitment, a personal relationship with Jesus. And the reality is this, I know you understand this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Your pastor cannot walk for you. Your pastor cannot be some kind of go-between that you can bypass your relationship with Jesus. Your parents cannot do it for you. Your relatives cannot do it for you. Your friends cannot do it for you. It's only between you and Jesus. And anything short of a one-on-one intentional relationship with Jesus will not save you. Just because Bob has a saving relationship with Him and you're close to Bob, that his relationship with Jesus will not save you. It will be your relationship that saves you. Whether it's a parent or pastor or friend, relative, yes, it is true. There is a part for them to in your life, right? They do encourage you, they'll pray for you and whatever it may be. I'm not saying they have no part in your walk with God. But in terms of ultimately what it boils down to is, do you personally have a relationship, one-on-one relationship with your Lord? While friends and relatives and parents or whatever, whoever it may be, they may play a role in your life, you can never replace that with one-on-one time with Jesus. Your time in prayer, Bible study, worship, fasting, service is between you and Jesus. And in addition, as much as I love the idea of public evangelism meetings, and I'm a, I do personally enjoy those, but I tend to, as a pastor, I tend not to rely on it too much. Here's why. Because when we have these public evangelism meetings, we tend to shift most of the burden, most of the work of soul winning to the pastor, to the or to the evangelist. And so maybe it makes us feel good to some extent. And I'm not saying if you're an usher is not important or if you're a greeter is not important. But do you know that God, the Great Commission is not just for pastors? It's not just for Bible workers? It's not just for evangelists? The Great Commission is for all of us. Priesthood of all believers. God doesn't say, hey, you go take the gospel, you don't. He says it's for all Christians to take the Great Commission seriously and to carry out the Great Commission. Jesus has a work for you and I, each one of us to do. And I'm going to say something odd. Do you know that when we bypass or forsake the Great Commission, we rob ourselves of the blessings that God wants to give you. That's just reality, right? God doesn't give you this just so that, hey, like, here's the burden. No, when we carry out God's service, when we carry out the Great Commission, when we do the work of the Lord, it also blesses us. And there's a blessing that cannot be replaced in doing anything else. And by not carrying out the Great Commission, not doing God's work, you are literally robbing yourself of God's blessings. And I also want you to think about one other thing. Do you know there's probably a work that only you are best suited to do? Not the pastor, not the elders, not the deacons. You might be the only person that might be able to reach a certain person, right? And so God calls each one of us to take the Great Commission seriously, the work of God seriously. We are to take up that banner, and each one of us to be a soul winner for Jesus. In summary, Mary and Joseph left Jesus behind, lost him because they were distracted. Secondly, they made assumptions. Third, because they shifted the responsibility to others. As we conclude, I want to look at the final statement it's not the end of the story, but the final statement for our sermon. Scripture says, and when they did not find him amongst the caravan, that is, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. It's interesting. It only took a moment for them to lose Jesus. And they searched for him an entire day amongst the caravan. They had gone an entire day not realizing Jesus wasn't there. And for another 3 days, three days, they were looking for Jesus. I mean, a total of 4 days, searching and agonizing for Jesus. But how did they get there? It took only one moment of neglect for 4 days of suffering. Here's a general principle that I've learned. It is always easier to lose something than to find that which is lost. Some of you know, each Saturday, almost every Saturday, I lose my keys. You know that, right? Like almost every Saturday, I lose my keys. And it's to the point where I put a little a Bluetooth tracker on there that I can find it more easily. But I can tell you a fact, I can lose my keys in a moment, but it might take hours for me to find my keys. It's always easier to lose something than to find it. How about health? Isn't that true? For a few, maybe years of neglect or even weeks of neglect, that can add up to a lifelong ill health, right? How about gaining weight, right? It's easy to gain weight, right? In fact, I don't button my jackets anymore because I can't fit in them. It's not because I'm trying to be cool. They just don't really button up, right? Same thing with my tie. I don't wear ties. Not because I'm trying to be modern or like contemporary, but it's just because I can't close the neck of my shirt, right? So it just, I can, but I wouldn't be able to breathe. But the idea that it's easy to gain weight, but is it hard to lose weight? Of course, right? And so there's these principles here. How about your relationship with family or friends? In a heated moment, your relationship could be shattered, right? A lifelong friendship broken because some harsh words or some not well thought out actions, whatever it may be. And to repair that broken relationship, it may take years. Sometimes people don't heal for decades. Once again, it's easier to lose than to find that which is lost. So what am I trying to say here? It might take investment and energy and time for you to maintain your relationship with Jesus, but that will be actually the easier path than to gain that which you lost. Now, I'm not saying you can't get there, and but what I'm saying is that sometimes we don't want to make that commitment because it seems like difficult to maintain our relationship with Jesus and to grow in Jesus, but the reality is it's easier to lose it, and when you lose it, the path forward would be that much harder. But of course, I'm saying it can be done. But my point is, it will be challenging. So the point ultimately I'm trying to make is don't lose your walk with God. Don't lose your focus with God in the first place. Guard your spirituality. Guard your opportunity to grow spiritually. Guard your hearts against sin. Guard your hearts from the influences, sinful influences of the world. Be spiritually focused. And I'm going to summarize right here. One, how do we do this? And it's in that verse 44, don't get distracted by the world and others. Every day when we wake up, ask God, what would you have me to do today? What is your mission for me today? What are your plans for me today? So don't get distracted. Two, don't assume. Don't assume that you are walking in the presence of Jesus when you have not intentionally made a desire to be in his presence. Don't assume his will when you have not prayed about it. I think you get the idea. Don't assume. Lastly, don't shift the responsibility of your walk with Jesus to others. It's an impossibility, right? Your mother cannot save you. Your father cannot save you. Your pastor cannot save you. It will be your time with Jesus one-on-one. And I'm going to once again reemphasize, don't let the devil rob you of the blessings of God's service. So be mindful to walk in the presence each day, each hour, each day. And I want to encourage you that as don't wait until the New Year resolutions. We often want to push it off. Hey, when the New Year comes, today is the best day to start. God bless you guys.